welcome back. This is lecture 3. We are going to talk about logic today. And just to recap real quick, last time we talked a little bit about Boolean algebra and how Boolean algebra is similar to regular algebra, but you have, instead of numbers, you have truths and false, right? And we saw that the operations that we can apply on Boolean variables are ands, ors, and nots, right? And we saw how those work. More specifically, we had these tables, right, which are the basic tables. These show us for all the combinations of values for A and B, what is the result for A and B, and what is the result for A or B, and what is the result for not A. And remember, this is pretty important. If you have a long expression with Boolean variables, parentheses, nots, ands, and ors, the order of operations is parens first, nots, ands, and ors, right? So if you don't have parens, you'll do the nots first, then you'll do the ands, then you'll do the ors. We saw that there is a relationship between these operations, and it's called the De Morgan's Law. And again, the De Morgan's Law says what happens when you have stuff like not X and Y, and not X or Y. And we saw that the not gets distributed, and there is the and turns into an or, and the or turns into an and. So I want to give another example. Say your favorite show airs on Mondays and on Tuesdays. Right? So if it's Monday or if it's Tuesday, you can watch your favorite show. So I said that X is a Boolean variable, which is true if today's Monday, and false if today's not Monday. And the same for Y, it's true if it's today's Tuesday. So show airs is X or Y, right? It's true that the show airs today if today is Monday or if today is Tuesday. So what happens if there's a day, and we definitely know that the show is not airing today? Well, in that case, we know that it's definitely not Monday, and we know that it's definitely not Tuesday, right? But it's not Monday and it's not Tuesday at the same time, right? So this is what the last line says that. X, in the first parenthesis, X or Y is true if the show airs, right? So if not X or Y means that the show is not airing, and that is equal to not X, so it's not Monday, and it's also not Tuesday. Is that clear? Does that make sense? Again, you don't have to memorize this. You just have to, it has to ring a bell, and it has to make sense why that is. Okay? We also saw that the way to go from Boolean variables, truths and falses, to circuits, to physics, to things that we can touch and work with, is by making a switch for each Boolean variable. And if the variable is true, the switch will be closed, so it would let the current flow through it. And if the variable is false, then the switch will be open, and it will not let the current flow through it, right? And these very simple circuits show this very intuitively. And that is, we link a light bulb to the circuit, and we see that the circuit turns on, the light turns on if the variable is true. And the light turns off if the variable is false. And you have a link here, and you can play with the program online. Also, these symbols are very important, too. And we went over each of them, and we saw what they mean. And then we moved further, and we saw that we can have two variables. We can have a circuit with two variables. And last time we saw that if we take all the possible values of variables A and B and make a little table, and we look at what is, you know, if the light is on or off, depending on those values, we can actually make a table, and we can see what this function actually does, right? So we notice that the light turns in the circuit above. The switches are in parallel. So either one, if either one is closed, that would light the light bulb, right? So in the other one, the light bulb will turn on if they both need to be closed. So we said that light one, the first circuit is like an OR because either one can be closed. If either one is closed, that's turning on the light bulb. And the second circuit is like AND because they both need to be closed or true in order for the light to be on. Okay, so I would like to run over this example on the blackboard. I'm going to try this again. So that it's clear to everybody how to do this kind of problem, right? If it shows up in the homeworks or if it shows up in the exam. And then you can ask me and see, let me know if it's not clear. So we have two lights here. We have, let's call this light one, and let's call this light two. Can everybody see what I'm writing? Kind of? Okay. This classroom has a very weird shape. It's extremely wide and very, anyway. So we're going to make a table. And we're going to fill it up. And we're going to see for each combination of values for A and B, what is light on and what is light two. So all the possible combinations are false. I'm going to say F instead of false. False, false. False, true. True, false. And true, true. And you can see that in normal algebra, this would be impossible to do. Okay, we're going to learn about plus. Let's make all possible combinations of numbers that we can add up. That's impossible to do, right? But here we only have two possible values, so we can just make this, we can make this really small table and see what's happening. Okay, and I'm gonna start with A false and B false. Okay, so let's see what happens. A false means that this switch is on, is up, right? So this switch is up. This automatically takes, we said that this dotted line means that they're linked together. So this automatically will turn on this light, this switch too. The same for B, right? B is open, so this is open too. Okay? So let's see. I'm going to draw the electricity with pink. And so the electricity goes from the battery. It gets stuck here. It can't go further. It can't jump over. Right? It gets stuck here. It manages to go far here, but it gets stuck there. So there's no way for the electricity to reach either of the light bulbs, right? So they will both be off. So which means false. So light one will be false, light two will be false. Okay? This is clear?
Which switches are connected to light one and light two?
right. Yeah. The question is, what are, if the lights are on or off? Okay, and in this specific case, because the switches are open or false, there's no way for the electricity to reach, right? Because, so, the electricity, we said that the lines are wires, right? So if electricity can travel along a wire, but it cannot travel if there's a break in a wire, right? Okay, imagine there's, you know, a troop and it's traveling and it reaches here and it can't go further because there's too big of a gap. All right, we're going to take this. Any other questions before? Okay. We're going to take the second case. A is false and B is true. This time, B is closed. So B is closed. It brings this other switch with it too. Okay? So now, the electricity flows, it gets stuck here, it gets stuck here, but it can't go through here. And this little, I don't know how to call it, this little C means that these two wires don't intersect. This wire goes above the other wire. Okay. Otherwise, there would be, you know, electricity distributed here. So remember, this is very important. Okay. Electricity travels, goes over this wire, goes over here, it goes, so electricity travels as much as it can along the wires, right? And then this light has electricity flowing through it, and it turns on, okay? So then we have light one will be true, right? And light two will be false, because there's no way for electricity to reach light two, okay? Is this clear? Okay, I'm gonna move on and do true, false. So this time F is open. This is white again. The problem with pink chalk is that you can't really erase it very well. But there's no electricity through here. So this is open, this is open. But A is closed this time. So A is closed. So let's see what happens in this case. Electricity can flow through this switch now, but it gets stuck here because V is open and it, together with V, this goes up. But A is closed, so electricity can flow through here and here, and it goes down here, okay? And that turns on which switch? Which light, I'm sorry. Light one, right? Light one will be again on. And light two will be off again. Okay? Okay, and now what happens if they're both closed? They're both closed. Now there's electricity through this wire two. Light bulb two gets turned on, and light one is on. They're both on. Okay? True, true. So this is how you figure out this kind of circuit. Now we should be able to figure out what kind of functions light one and light two are. So if I make a separate table and I say A, B, light one, and I just copy this table above, I'm gonna say false, 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 true, true, false, true, true. I'm copying this. False, true, true, true. And I have this truth table. Can somebody, anybody recognize? Or, yes. It's an OR. So, how do we write this? This is identical with OR. If you take your first slide that I showed and compare the truth tables, they're identical. So we can say confidently that light one equals A or B. Okay? What about light two? So light two will be false, 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 true. And yes. So we can say that light two equals A and B. And again, it might be the case that you will see a truth table with these, the rows switched around, right? You don't, that doesn't matter. You just, if you arrange the row this way, the rows this way, and you compare the truth tables and they're identical, you can put an equality sign and say, you know, A or B or whatever other function it is, okay? Is this clear? Does anybody have questions? This is pretty important, so I wanted everybody to understand it. Okay. I can't figure it out. You guys are cool with it, but. All right, so we'll move on with two clicker questions. And again, if you are going back, if you miss a lecture, and you go back and you do the clicker questions online, you will not see the questions. So you will have question one, and you won't know what the question one is. You have to listen to the audio And in the audio, I'm recording it right now, hopefully.
Yeah, it looks like it, I think.
So I'm recording it. You have to, yeah, last time I forgot to press to push the button, and I had to record myself later, which is not fun. I will, so you have to listen to the questions, and I'm recording the questions, okay? So, or if you say you forgot your clicker, you know, write them down on a piece of paper so you don't have to listen to me again going over the questions. Okay. So, first question is, I'm sorry. DB, okay? I apologize for that you have to change the code every time. I don't know how to change that. So you change it by, if you press something, it's going to be green, the boot status. This tells you how to change your sub-frequency, so I'm going to leave it on for a few seconds. Okay, anybody still have a red light? Raise your hand. Sorry? Yeah, I can. question. Which of the following words is not a portmanteau word? A. Brunch. B. Sandwich. C. Motel. D. Bit. E. Infomercial. Brunch is breakfast and lunch. Motel is motor and hotel. Bit is binary digit, right? An infomercial? Yes, information and commercial. Next question is, what is true and false? A, true. B, false. C, it depends on the context. Maybe 30 seconds. Maybe 35. 3 seconds. True or false? And in the parentheses, we have a whole bunch of for the nots and an and. So we do the nots first, right? So we're going to do the not true, which is false. So we're going to have false or false and false. Okay? And we do the and first. So we're going to do, so we have false, false, or false and false. False and false is false. False or false is false. So the paren is false. Then we have, so we have true or false and not false. Okay? We do the not first. Not false is true. So we get true or false and true. So we do the true and true first. True and false and true first. And that gives us false. True or false is true. Okay? It makes sense when you write it down.
And
I guess I should write it down.
And always comes before.
And you do the and before the or. Does anybody want me to? I'm just afraid that if I pull this up, then it's going to take a whole.
Can you do it on that?
Yeah. Those people can't see it though. I'll just do it. Can somebody dictate? So
true or false.
Okay. So we start with the parentheses. In the parentheses, we do the not first. Not true gives us false. Okay? So we have false or false and false. We do the and first. False and false gives us false. False or false gives us false. Okay? So I'm going to write this down again. We have true or false and not false. Everybody agree with this? Okay. Then we do the not first. This is true. Then we do the and. False and true gives us false. True or false gives us true.
Just look at the true or the very beginning, everything else after that is worthless.
Well, you have the problem is you have an and, right? And you do the and before. So his question is very true, right? If you have true or anything, that gives you true, right? But the problem is we have true or something. That was my initial intention, actually. True or something and something else. So we know that we need to do the and before you're right, yeah. Because we have to do the and before the or, we're going to do this part from here to the end first. No matter what this gives us, right? No matter what this whole thing is, it's true or something. And true or something, if you look in the truth table, you're going to see that's always true.
So
okay?
Or before,
you do the and. That's the whole point. So because you do the and, this is going to be true or something, right? Is it the end first? So that's why you could have just looked at this and said this is true without doing the whole.
Well, really, because you should do the end first, right?
Yeah, right. But, okay, say you have true or, and then you do this, right? And this whole thing can only be true or false because you do the end first, right? So that's why then you're left with true or something. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, good observation. Okay, let's go back. Okay, any questions on that kind of stuff? Clicker questions? Anything? I got some questions on email about clicker questions after, if you haven't been in class, what happens? How does that work? Okay, no questions right now. Okay, we can move on. So we've seen how we can go from truths and falses to switches and wires and physics and stuff like that. Now we want to know, okay, how do we take a problem in the world and turn it into switches and physics and bits and stuff like that? Okay. And to illustrate, we're going to play a game. Okay, you will play against me. And this is, you have no chance, right? Okay, so you have a pile of objects. You have 10 objects, and we will take turns playing. And each of us can take either one object or two objects. And whoever takes the last object wins. Okay, are the rules clear to everybody? So you can go first, and you can tell me how many objects you want to take. You can take one or two. And I will, okay, it's just, you know, just tell me how many objects you want to take.
Two.
This is not. Gosh. So you guys take two, and I will take two. Okay.
Ready to win.
We don't know that yet. I want to enjoy my victory. You can go now. Well, I just played. Sorry, we need to alternate. Two. Okay. Two. And I will take one. So you'll take one. And I will take two.
You cheated.
And win. Okay? Yeah, okay. So we'll go back. And this time I'll go first, okay? Because, you know, you went first last time. And I will take one.
One?
Yeah. Okay, one. I would say two.
One.
I'll take two again.
Wow.
I didn't cheat. Two and one. Okay, so what's the trick here?
I have a clicker,
okay. I really didn't cheat. I wanted to, but no. So what is I noticed that when we had three objects left, you were all very disappointed because, you know, I was winning. So can we think of, okay, what is a strategy? You know, how can we, if you want to play this with your friends and, you know, you want to get their money, how can you, you know, it's not obvious. I don't think this is obvious at all. Okay, go ahead.
Basically, if you want to win, at the end of your turn, there has to be a multiple of three left.
Exactly. You want to leave your opponent with a multiple of three. That's a very good observation. Okay? So that's our strategy. So now we can play it with somebody else and they won't know what happened. It's funny because I actually was thinking to trick you because if you ask a class how many do you want to take, one or two, there's always somebody who's going to say what you want to hear, right? So if you guys, you know, I was expecting, you know, a mix of one and two and then I could pretend that I only heard two. Okay, and then, you know, I get my victory. All right, so, okay, now let's see, how can we, so we wanna make a little circuit that plays this game, okay? And this time, we will be the computer, the programmer, and we will play against the user, okay? We'll play against our cat, for example, or our mom, or whatever. Okay, so this game tree, we can construct this game tree. This is a very computer science-y thing. The circles, the green circles, are the state of the game, which is how many objects are left. Okay, so we can be in a situation where five objects are left, and that is the the circle above. Okay, and the user's move is encoded in rectangles. So the user, when there's five left and the user is moving, the user's turn, they can take one and take two. And the computer strategy is encoded in this tree, so you won't see the computer's move, okay? Because we know that we want to leave our opponent with a multiple of three. So let's take a case, okay? Let's say there's five left, the user is moving, they decide to take one, then what are we going to do? So there's four left. We definitely want to take one, right? Because we want to leave them with three. So there's three left then, right? So notice how, in this tree encodes already what we are doing, what the computer is doing. And then, the user can take one, computer wins. The user can take two, computer wins, right? If they take one, there's two left, computer takes two. Okay. Now, if the user takes two, that's a little problem. We are left with three, right? So we can either take one or two. We're going to decide to take one. So, maybe if there's two left, the user won't notice what's happening, and we'll take one, okay? Maybe. I don't know. Some people are, blind, I guess, or drunk. Okay, so if there's two left and the user takes one, obviously we take the last one, we win, and the user wins if there's two left and they take two. Okay, is this clear? So we build this tree that kind of encodes the game. And so now we have to write this in terms of ands and ors and nots. And this is where it gets tricky, right? So five left in the beginning is true. What does needs to happen in order for there to be three left? So in order for there to be three left, we see that the user needs to take one on the first round, okay? So if there's five left and user takes one, there's going to be three left. So three left is going to be true.
If you take one, right, that'd be four.
Sorry?
If you only take one from the five, you're going to be four left.
Yeah, but then the computer's going to take one to leave the user with three. So that tree does not show the computer's role.
Oh.
It's implicit. Okay.
Right.
Three left needs the user to take one on the first round, right? And two left needs the user to take two on the first round. So this is the most complicated expression, and this just says what needs to happen for the computer to win. Well, there need to be three left, and the user needs to take one on the second round, or two on the second round, right? If there's three left and the user takes one, there's two left, we win. If there's three left and the user takes two, there's one left and we win. Or there's two left and the user takes one, which probably won't happen, but just in case, okay? If we play against the cat, that might happen. So for the user to win, there needs to be two left and the user takes two on the second round, right? So this is this part of the tree. There needs to be two left, and the user takes two on the second round, right? So our goal is to go to ors and ands because we know how to make those out of switches and battery and light bulbs. Okay, so I'm going to show you a little program online. You have the link to it, and it looks very complicated. And I'm going to try to explain so you can play this if you ever want to do it. This is so the switches are we can turn on and off the switches by using this red square, I guess. Okay, so this red switch, we are the user. Okay, now we encoded this circuit and we are the user and we're playing against the computer. So we can take one or we can take two on the first round. Okay, let's say that we can take one. And you see how the light, the left five left is on, right? Because right now there's just five left. We turn the switch, and then we've taken one, so the computer's going to take one, too. And notice how the three left switch light is on now, right? So that means that the user knows, oh, there's three left, okay. And now I can choose to either take two or take one. And these are this is two switches, but do you see how there's this blue line? That means that they're connected, right? So, you know, if you play this and you want to take two, you can click any of them. But if you want to take one, click one of these. Okay, so what happened? We took one, there was three left, and now we took two, and there's one left, and the computer wins. And the computer wins, switch turned off. Okay? And you can play with this. And I'm going to go back to the slides. This slide shows the same circuit, a little cleaner. And just one little thing I want to point out. You can't see very well, but notice that, for example, in order for 3 to be left, this light will turn on if this switch closes, right? So there's purple electricity flowing. If this light closes, there's going to be electricity flowing through here and turning on this light, okay? So this is all ANDs, and this is just taking this little small part of NIM, right? We started with 5 and making a circuit and just showing how, you know, we started with a problem and we got to switches and lights and so yeah, this is a big headache, as you probably can tell, right? So we made this the smallest interesting NIM that we could think of. Smaller than 5, it's really not interesting. But if you want to do 10, that's crazy. It gets really hairy, and it's very hard to keep track. If you want to program it, it's hard to keep track. You know, it's not working, or what's wrong, or I didn't connect these two wires, and it's just a very, very hectic thing. And also, we don't like the fact that there's switches inside the circuit, right? We want something clean. We want something like there's a keyboard, and I press a button, and then there's a little thing showing up on the screen. Right? We don't want to have to deal with switches inside a circuit. We wouldn't want to open a computer and, you know, start turning on switches, turning on and off switches inside it. So we need to figure out a way to make things a little cleaner. So this is what we want. We want, on the outside, we want a switch, right? For example, for the NIM game, we want, ideally, a box. And we want a little panel with two switches saying, this is the first round, what are you going to do? And I will, you know, turn on whichever switch I want, the take two or the take one switch, okay? And then the computer, you know, turns on a light bulb, lets me know what's happening, okay? And then I want a second panel with two switches. And I want to, you know, I want to have it nice and clean and switches on the outside, light bulbs on the other side, let me know what happened. And inside, you know, I don't really care, you know, so... You know, I know how to make ANDs, I know how to make ORs, I know how to make NOTs, right? I just want to go to the store and buy them and make my little NIM game and, you know, not get a headache after I'm done. So what's the idea here? We need to figure out how to do this, how to make these little boxes that have, you know, I have a little box and this does exactly what I want, you know, For the example, the AND box, if the two inputs are true, the output is true. If either of the inputs are false, the output is false. Just as a truth table, I want to figure out how to make this little box. Okay? So we might have a hard time designing the AND, but after we have a whole bunch of them, it's going to be really easy to make things that are very complicated. So this kind of illustrates the idea, okay? This was two switches in parallel, which we saw that is an OR gate, okay? So this happens to be very simple. The wiring is just take the two wires and put them together, and then you have the output. But it might be that, you know, some of the gates are more complicated, okay? So now we know how to make an OR gate, and we can hire somebody, and they can make for us 100 OR gates, and then we have a basket full of OR gates, and we just pick up an OR gate and put in our circuits whenever we need it. Now, the NOT gate is a little tricky, right? So we want the NOT gate to get, if there's electricity coming in, we want no electricity coming out. And if there is no electricity coming in, we want electricity coming out, okay? The case above is pretty easy, right? You can think of, okay, this gate is going to be, I'm going to cut the wire. Okay, and so if there's electricity coming in, I cut the wire, there's not going to be electricity coming out. But at the same time, we want no electricity coming in, electricity coming out. So it's really hard to think of creating electricity, right? to me, it seems kind of intuitive that we would need some kind of electricity coming into the nominee, right? Because we need electricity out. So this is where things get weird. Okay, so we will have this square is called a relay, okay? And the way this relay works is there's this electromagnet in here which gets activated. It's a power-activated magnet. So if there's no electricity flowing through this magnet, it acts like a simple wire. If nothing happens. So there's this other part of the relay is a switch, and the switch is closed, okay? But if there's electricity coming through the magnet, it acts like a magnet, and it attracts this little switch and opens it, okay? So this is, I don't know, in the past, very few people got this for some reason. So we'll try to have homeworks and clickers and stuff, so we make sure that everybody is cool with it. So let's see. Say we have an input, which is A. A is false. There's no electricity flowing through here. This switch closes, lets electricity flow, turns on the light. A is false, the light is on. Okay. If there is electricity flowing through here, this acts like a magnet, opens the other switch, and the light will be off. If we were to name this, right? If we were to think, okay, what is light on? What's the function? How can we express that function? What do you think it would be? Does it look like something? We have no electricity going in, and we have electricity coming out and turning on the light. We have electricity coming in, and no electricity coming out. Okay? It's a not gate, right? It inverts the value of the variable that goes into the gate. All right? So this is a very simple way of making a not gate. Okay? And now we don't have to worry, okay, which you can just buy a whole bunch of relays, and that's going to be our not gate, and we don't have to think about it. Okay? Now, we're going to try to do, to figure this out, right? And if you haven't printed out your lecture notes, I recommend that you make a little truth table, and we'll fill it out, and then we'll figure out what this function is, okay? So let's see. So as I did before, make, A, B, and light on, okay, is the third column. Three columns, A, B, and light on. And then we will have all the combinations of values for A and B. And we'll start with false and false. A is false, B is false. And I will walk you through what happens in this case. So, when A is false and B is false, this A being false being open keeps the electricity from flowing through this electromagnet, which will act like a wire, and this switch will be closed. And because the switch is closed, there's electricity flowing through here and turning on the second electromagnet, the electromagnet of the second relay, okay? Which causes this switch to open. It attracts it because it's a magnet. But this doesn't do too much because there's no electricity flowing through here anyway, right? So if A is false and B is false, the light will be off or false, okay? So we have our first row filled out. And we can move on to A is false and B is true. And for A false, same story. No electricity through here, electricity through here, going down, turning on the electromagnet of the second relay. And now this is open and B was true. So B let electricity flow through it, but electricity can't go further because this switch is open. Okay? Make sense? So the light is still false. Now what happens when A is true and B is false? This time, because A lets electricity flow through, this magnet gets power through it, acts like a magnet, opens the switch, and keeps electricity from flowing through this branch. So this electromagnet will be off, will act like a wire. This thing closes. You can think of the switch as like, it has some kind of weight. so it falls. But the you know, it's attracted by a force that is bigger than, you know, gravity. So, you know, if the electromagnet is on, it will attract it. If it's off, it will fall back to closed. So this is closed, but, you know, doesn't matter. There's no electricity flowing because A was false. Okay, so we have our third row filled out. And we have our last row with A being true and B being false. Both true. This electromagnet is on. This opens a switch. No electricity through here. This electromagnet is off, closing this switch. And so because B is true, closed, electricity is flowing nicely and turns on the light bulb. So you got the light bulb is on, or true. So this is a truth table that hopefully everybody has. Okay? And we'll try to guess what this is. So why don't you all get your clickers out again. And I'll start this. And you can let me know if this looks familiar or not. You have the option of saying none of those. Okay? So what is this thing is the question. And the answers are A, OR gate, B, AND gate, C, NOT gate, D, none of these. Stopping at 1 minute. Okay, so I'm getting ready to stop. Pretty soon. All right, I'm going to stop in 3, 2, 1. What happens? B, an AND gate. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, it matches perfectly the truth table of the AND gate. Alright. So we can think of the same thing for NOT. Right, so we saw before the very simple relay on a few slides back. This was acting like a NOT, right? False as an input, true as an output, true as an input, false as an output. Okay, and some people write this, experts write this NOT gate as a triangle with a little circle here. Anyway, we're going to call it the NOT gate. That's clear to everybody. Okay, so now we want to do something else. We want to take a whole bunch of So now we have all these AND gates and NOT gates. We have black boxes. We pretty much don't care what's inside. We know how to make them if we want to, but we don't have to. Okay, this is kind of like, okay, I'm not making pizza from scratch. I'm getting, dough from the store and the sauce from the store, and I'm making it as I like it. You know, I'm not getting a pizza from the restaurant. I'm making it the way I like to have it. Okay, so. Now we have these gates, and we can go up another level. Okay, what if this whole thing was a gate, right? What if we put a box around this whole thing, and its inputs were A and B, okay? What kind of function would this be, right? So we are going to go through again the same thing. We're going to go through and fill out the statement. And I will do this so it goes a little faster. So when A is false and B is false, the outputs of the NOT gates are the opposite of the inputs. So this output will be true, this output will be true. Then we will have true and true going through the AND gate. True and true is true. And the AND gate goes through a NOT gate. So because the NOT gate is true, the output will be a false, right? So if A is false and B is false, we will get a false as a result. Next, false and true. The AND gate will get as inputs a true and a false. True and false will be false. Going through the NOT gate will give us a true. Okay? True and false. If A is true and B is false, same thing. The AND gate will get a false and a true as inputs. False and true is false. Going through the NOT gate becomes a true. And then if A and B are true, the declared outputs of the NOT gates will be false and false. Going through the AND gate will give us a false. Going through the NOT gate will give us a true. So what about this one? That's an OR. Okay, great. So we made an OR a different way. Okay. Now we can. This line says simplified NIM 5 circuit, and I know that probably most of you don't agree. It doesn't look simplified, but it doesn't have all the switches and it doesn't have all the wires. It has. You know, a higher level view of our circuit. And, you know, I'm sure that if we had a basket with gates and we would create it, it would take us, if we looked at this, it would take us 10 minutes or 15 minutes. If we had to do it with switches, it would take us a long time, I think. So this is a little bit cleaner, at least. Okay, so let's see. The user wins when there's two left, going into an AND gate with take two on the second round, right? So if there's two left and the user takes two on the second round, the user takes the last two objects and wins, right? So this slide shows basically all the scenarios that can happen, right? We don't have to worry about this too much right now, and it's fun, I think, to think that we don't have to make gates out of transistors, or they're normally made out of transistors, but we don't have to make them out of switches. We can make them out of anything, dominoes, right? Or some people make them out of DNA somehow, and optics. You can think of light, and the whole idea is that you have to think of information as traveling. And no matter what you choose, say you love light, okay, and you want to make your whole computer out of light somehow. So you have to figure out, okay, how does information travel? Oh, maybe light is a 1 and no light is a 0. And then you have, light on for a certain time and that's a 1. And you have to think about how you're going to encode it, okay? And then you can think of how do I make an OR gate? And that's very kind of hard to think about. But you can think about using mirrors or using, some kind of materials that let light get through and directing it and getting all these gates, right? I read somewhere that a long, long time ago somebody made a computer out of just mechanics, right? So just sticks and, I don't know a lot about it, so I'm gonna stop talking about it. For example, if we use dominoes, right? So let's see, this is a map. Each of these lines is a domino seen from above, okay? So you can imagine that this should be a NOT gate, okay? So you can imagine pushing the domino, the 0 on the left, and it goes all the way and it pushes all these, and this domino pushes this domino, and the domino corresponding to 1 falls, okay? So we started with a 0, we pushed the domino according to 0, and we got the 1. If we push, I'm sorry?
How do you reset them?
Yeah, you have to reset them.
That's why people don't build computers out of dominoes.
Yes, exactly. But there are these really cool competition where they make dominoes out of millions of pieces. And then fall. You can watch it on YouTube. I wasted like half an hour last week. And they show it from above, and it's really pretty. People work at it to put it together for a week, and then it takes a minute, and they have to do the work all over again. But they're on TV, so that's cool. So starting with 1, get a 0. Then what else? This is an OR gate. And this is very, very important. Release bottom row first, okay? So if we have 0 or 0. So see this zero? This is very cool. This zero here is isolated. So it's not going to make a difference, okay? If we or if we do false or anything, that's going to be anything, right? False or false is false or true is true. So this zero is not very relevant. We can do one or zero. Let's try that. So one would go this way, and this is some kind of disaster happening here. Zero goes this way. And zero or one is one, right? So this one needs to get to, I think that's why you need to release the bottom row first, because if this zero goes out first, I'm showing it with my finger, but you can't see. So if the zero goes first, this is gonna fall. So we don't want that result. We want a one as a result. So if we do the one first, this is gonna hopefully create a mess here, and these zeros are going to stop somewhere before they get to this zero and make them. Okay, and this is the just wires. Yes. Okay, that doesn't want to. So, just the wires. You know, if we start with zero, this just transmits the information, and one transmits the information. And there's a cool movie that Michael, our advisor, who created this classmate. That there's no audio for some reason, but doesn't matter. He made all these gates out of dominoes. So can you all see? Okay, so this is the logic gates, and these are the ones made of dominoes, and you can see how this works. Obviously, you have to put things together, back together, all the time, right? So, okay, this is a wire. So, the NOT gate, he actually put the dominoes there, and you can see how he starts from one, and this, you know, goes out, and this is zero, and zero goes out. This transmits the information two ways. This is the OR gate that we saw before, that we don't really believe is working. So, see the zero, basically. Doesn't have any effect, and the other zero is output zero, so zero or zero, zero and one. I want to see the example with one and zero. Okay, see that? So that keeps the zero from propagating. Anyway, it's a little messy, and this is showing how they took atoms, and you know they can move atoms around, and then this. You know, creates a chain reaction, so different atoms, you know, interact with each other and create this chain reaction, which is like or like, and like the gates. And then he made gates out of marbles and channels. These are a little cleaner. So that's an inverter. You know, one starts one and zero, starts zero and ends one. This propagates information two ways. And I think this was an OR gate. You can see that the zero and the zero create a zero, or zero create zero. You start with zero and one, and that ends as one. The one and the zero. Yeah, he actually made these the first time he taught the class, and he brought them to class, and they were huge. And I'm enjoying this because it says Director Michael Littman, Domino set up Max Littman, which is his son, Marble set up Molly Littman. She put the marbles in there, and shopping support Elisa, which is his way. So that was a movie to show you that you can make gates out of something else, okay? And I think that in the homework, in the first big homework, which will be out next Monday, I think. Oh, this coming Monday. You'll have to think about invent a bit, right? So take your, you know, element of choice, think about how the information is transmitted, think about how you would make an OR gate. It doesn't have to be very exact, precise. I would like you guys to think about how, you know, computer science is independent of the technology, right? You can make it out of wind, you can make it out of, I got some really funny answers one semester, but anyway, it's just fun for me to grade, so that's just more selfish than anything else. So this is really crazy. So his dominoes require 24 dominoes, okay? The first Pentium processor had 3.3 million transistors, okay? Which would be kind of roughly 800,000 gates, right? So one gate was one of his pieces of paper that he set up with all the dominoes on it, or the huge gate, you know? So that's 800,000 of them for one processor, okay? So maybe 19 million dominoes needed, all right? Now, the record of, you know, those domino competitions are 4 million, and I don't understand how people can set up 4 million dominoes. That makes my brain explode. But people do it, and it's fun. It's fun for them. It's fun. It's cool. And this is the crazy thing. So the Pentium has 60 million computations a second, right? So it would be like setting up 19 million dominoes 60 million times a second, okay? So information, you know, dominoes are set up, information goes through, then you have to reset the dominoes, and then information goes through again, and so on, okay? So that, to give you an idea how, yeah, I don't think anybody will make a computer out of dominoes. So really, there are lots and lots, and, you know, this is good. The good thing about computers is that, you know, they offer the technology for you to be able to have 60 million computations a second. You know, it's good. That's why they didn't make them out of dominoes, because that would never work. So, for example, the iPod, right? The iPod, the 60 gig iPod has, so 1 gig is 1 billion bytes. Each byte is 8 bits, okay? So the bits internally are stored in groups of 8. And 8 bits are a byte. And we're going to be talking about this later, too. So 1 gig is basically 60 times 8 billion bits. Okay, because that's how many zeros and ones you can have on your iPod. Then you have 128 kilobits per second. You probably heard of this, right? So CDs are recorded at this speed, which means that there's 120,000 bits per 1 second of sound. Okay, so to store each second, you need 128,000 bits. So basically, 62,500 minutes of sounds, or 15,000 songs at 4 minutes per second. That's how they figure out if when they tell you you can store 500 songs or 15,000 songs, or that's how they figure it out. They take the storage and they divide it by how many bits you need per each song, and then you have images, right? You have, for example, 320 by 240 pixels, which you have to multiply that. That's how many pixels are in an image. And each pixel stores a red, how much red is in it, how much green is in it, and how much blue is in it. So that's 1 byte for each color, right? So you have 8 bits for each color, so 24 bits per pixel. And, you know, because you have, you know, you can figure out how many pixels are in there, and then you know how many bits per pixel, and you can figure it out. So video is crazy because it's image and sound. Okay. So in the time that we is left, I wanted to show you. I'm not sure how many people have actually used Scratch. Were able to download it, and can you raise your hand, please? Okay. Did you do something with it, or just open it and anybody has, I don't know, made this? Push some of the buttons. Okay. I'm going to show you real quick. Just so that you would, I noticed that people, and I do this too. I have this new software and I'm just intimidated by it. I'm just afraid that I'm not going to be able to use it. And Scratch was created so that, you know, people wouldn't be intimidated. And there's a little cat, you know, so they start very friendly. And I'm going to try to make the cat say something, okay? So, you have all these this doesn't need to be upper left corner, but here I have, I don't know if you can all see, but there's emotion, there's looks, there's sound, pen, and so on. So I'm gonna go to looks. And under looks, it says, say hello for 2 seconds, and I'm dragging it. This is how you write your code, okay? I'm dragging it here, and this screen is my code, okay? So you're going to be programming. This is where you put your code. You drag whatever you want to happen into this little window, okay? But we have to start somewhere. So the cat needs to know when you want it to start. So usually we go to control, which is orange or yellow. And there's something that says when flag clicked. So we're going to put this here. And this is the flag that we're going to click. And that's how we're going to start the program. And it says when flag is clicked. And see how these two blocks, they need to be glued together for in order to work. You're not going to be able to put the wrong blocks together because they're made so that you can only put the right blocks together. Okay. So every program usually starts when flag is clicked. So that's why I took the flag click. I dragged it here. Say hello for 2 seconds. And then under control, so under orange again, there's something that should say stop script. And I'm going to put that and glue it here. Okay, so now we're going to run it by clicking the flag. And the cat says hello. I guess I don't think you can see it very well, but this is making the cat say hello. Okay, and you can play with this. You can look here. Everything should be, there's not a lot of options. So I might have a couple more questions about search.